Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today with a company update from Jose Maria Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol JOSE and on the OTC markets under the symbol JOSMF. I'm chatting with Adam Lundin, president and CEO of Jose Maria. Now, I first introduced the company back about 2 weeks ago. October 9th is when Adam and I had a more in-depth interview looking at this Jose Maria project, which is in Argentina. It's a copper gold de-risk project that at that point had a pre-feasibility study done back at the tail end of 2018. I'm following up with Adam now because just yesterday, the company announced the feasibility study. Now, some of these headline numbers, just over $1.5 billion after-tax NPV at an 8% discount rate. That yielded almost 15.5% IRR, internal rate of return. This was all done at metals prices of $3 for copper, $1,500 per ounce for gold, and $18 per ounce of silver. Now, the project, the feasibility also showed a 3.8-year payback. Overall, this is a 19-year mine life. So, Adam, give us a few more details on this feasibility study and how it, I think, fit a lot of your expectations as you progressed into and through this study.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. It's obviously great to be back here and really enjoyed our conversation 2 weeks ago. So happy to carry on top of that. Super pleased with the feasibility study. You know, you hit a lot of the key metrics there in the introduction. So thanks for that. You know, obviously, like you said, very happy with the quick payback of 3.8 years. But again, you know, what I mentioned on our first interview and like to reiterate again is the level of detail that gone into the study and seeing the production profile. I think it's an unrivaled production profile in the junior mining space. We're going to be doing 136,000 tons of copper, 231,000 ounces of gold, and 1.1 million ounces of silver for our 19-year mine life. And I think that's very unique, especially in a project of this size, especially, you know, on the gold side. The commodity prices that you mentioned, $3 copper, $1,500 gold, the revenue split is going to be 71% copper, 27% gold, and 2% silver. I think that's super unique for a deposit of this size.
So looking at the news release, which I will post a link to, there's table 2 that shows the sensitivity for the NPV. And with copper, just a little bounce from $3 to $3.30. So a 10% bounce in copper, the NPV after tax goes from just over $1.5 billion to over $2 billion. Gold price, it doesn't have the same sensitivity to there because obviously gold is a lower percentage of revenue. But just that little move in copper does show some nice increases in terms of the overall potential payback of this project. How important is it to see these sensitivities and even important to go back to if the copper price is lower and still see that this can be a profitable asset?
Yeah, I think it's very, very robust deposit. And I think the timing is very right for these types of projects. The world's going to need a lot more copper. Obviously, gold's in big demand. You know, on the sensitivity charts we show, you know, we used $1,500 gold and we pushed it out to a 20% increase. Obviously, gold's at $1,900 and that's more than a 20% increase than the spot price we've selected. So seeing the small jumps in copper play a huge role on the project, but where gold is today is super beneficial as well. And if you wanted to look at spot prices today, you know, yeah, we have an NPV of $1.5 billion, but if you want to use spot prices, you know, that's going to jack our NPV up by at least $600 million US. So it's a huge project, very sensitive to metal prices, and we're very excited. We think we have the wind in our sails and we'll continue to push the project forward like we have since discovery in 2006.
Now, can you give us a little bit of background on the group that prepared this feasibility study? It was led by Fluor Canada with key sections prepared by SRK Consulting. I know SRK very well, and I respect a lot of their work, but give us a little background on this Fluor Canada that led this study.
Yeah, for sure. So we finished the pre-feasibility study at the end of November 2018, and you know, you're still going to have a variability there of around 20%. But what we saw in the production profile and the CapEx and the numbers was that, okay, this is a project we still want to move forward. And when the Lundin Group, you know, and a company in the Lundin Group decides to move forward with a project, we don't do it as if we're going to take out. We do it as if we're going to build it and see it to the end. And so we saw the numbers and want to push forward. And when we went out in early 2019 to find the team that wanted to do this, you saw, you know, depressed copper prices. Gold was starting to move, but not that aggressively. Commodity prices really haven't taken off since you know, halfway through this year. And so what I'm alluding to was a lot of these engineering firms and top engineering firms like Fluor, who I normally see them do work with companies like Teck and Freeport, the bigger companies, and work on bigger projects, they were available. So I was very happy to secure Fluor, SRK, who we've worked with and have a long relationship with, and Nipisold, who has a tremendous track record in South America. And I really believe, you know, what makes any company or any engineering firm is the people, and the people available within those engineering firms were the A team. So super happy with the work they've done, and hopefully carry on in some key aspects as we move forward. And also, Fluor has a strong EPCM team, and could potentially be the ones we contract out to build this mine.
Okay, now you mentioned the team, and I think that's very important to understand the team that is behind Jose Maria, because of the fact that, look, there is an initial CapEx here of a little over $3 billion. That's exactly what you expected when you and I chatted about 2 weeks ago. So I know some investors can say, well, that's a big CapEx. Will this ever get built? But you have members on your team that have managed to push projects through this major hurdle, which is a funding issue. What can you tell us about the team and the possibility of managing to build a $3 billion project?
Yeah, I think, you know, unless you're willing to take something from study to construction, you shouldn't embark on the first engineering study, or you definitely shouldn't go towards pre-feasibility study. I think keep exploring it, make sure it's exhausted. And if you don't want to build it, don't waste your dollars on engineering studies. I think, you know, the view like the group has is once we go on these engineering studies, and you always start with the internal scoping, this study, and that gives you the confidence to push forward, and you keep gaining that confidence. And we definitely gain that in the feasibility study, you know, and other projects that we've had, you know, when we went into Ecuador, we knew that was already at feasibility study. We optimized the feasibility study. Ron Hochsteins, who's on the board of Jose Maria, he's the CEO of Lundin Gold, and he successfully led the team in that acquisition at the end of 2014 and put it into production in 2019. And, you know, that was $1 billion CapEx. And it was a very strategic project for Ecuador, similar to what I think Jose Maria is for Argentina. And so I believe owning 100%, having that strong 230,000-ounce gold profile will allow us to open the doors. If we need to do a farm down, if we need to do a streaming deal, the asset's entirely unencumbered, and we have that optionality.
Now, are there any tweaks or refinements that you guys are looking at here that you think can be made to further improve the economics of this project?
I think, you know, we're going to take a close look. Obviously, COVID hit, so one thing we didn't have the luxury to get to was looking at putting in some type of solar park to bring down the cost of power. So that's one thing we'll take a look at in this upcoming field season and see if we can incorporate. There's a lot of sun shining in San Juan, province of Argentina, and I think it's ripe for solar. And if we can do that, I think it'll bring down the overall cost of production.
So can you share some of your comments then on the impact that a project like this, or the importance that this project could have on the area in Argentina that it's in, or even the broad copper market when it comes to financing and funding these sort of large projects?
I think, you know, a lot of big companies, you know, when you're in bull markets, they get mandated to grow their copper profile. And if you want to look around, there's not many acquisitions of producing mines that can be had. There's not many producing players around. It's quite a concentrated base. I think people are going to have to go out and start building projects if they wanted to expand their profile, and Jose Maria is going to fit very well into that. And when you look at Jose Maria in the context of Argentina, you know, this is a project that has the potential to pay over $2 billion in taxes to the federal authorities and almost $500 million at the provincial level. And then also, you know, you're going to be exporting during that 19-year mine life just under $20 billion of metal. So you're going to bring a bunch of dollars into the country. And at peak construction, we're going to have, you know, up to 4,000 people at site helping build this mine. And when we're up and running, you know, you're going to have around 2,000 people fully employed. It's just a tremendous benefit for Argentina, for the employment of Argentina, and to the export industry of Argentina. And I think we're all aligned.
All right. So I know that this takes a lot of work to get a feasibility study out, especially one of this scale. But I do have to ask you, what are some of the news events that investors can watch for, some of the catalysts on tap for the company?
Yeah, for sure. It was great getting this big catalyst out. You know, we did a good successful equity raise in August, where we raised over $30 million. Allowed us to obviously finish the feasibility study. The next catalyst will be us embarking on basic engineering at the beginning of the year. We'll get going on the permitting side of things. We'll submit our environmental social impact assessment in middle of Q1 2021. And then what we've been doing in parallel is having great discussions with the provincial and federal authorities to put in place some type of fiscal stability agreement. We'll continue pushing that along. That'll be a great catalyst, hopefully in the short term. And then we'll talk about the field season we're having and hope to kick off detailed engineering sometime at the end of summer. So try and keep the catalyst flowing.
So there is that comment within the news release that says commercial production could be achieved by early 2026. That just has to go with all the permitting and all the hoops that you still need to jump through to actually get this project, first of all, permitted, but then also financed?
Yeah. So 2026 is a timeline that we foresee that's achievable. And that's, again, you know, going in parallel. I think, you know, once we have a permitted project, we have a stability agreement in place, we'll keep going on the engineering front. It's going to give people that sense of security that Argentina is open for business. And it'll be similar, you know, when we embarked on Fruta del Norte in Ecuador, and that Argentina is open for business. They want to get mining going. They want to do it in the right way. And people will feel comfortable investing in the sector. And we're happy to lead the charge.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up there, Adam. I appreciate the update on this feasibility study. As I said, I'm going to post a link below the interview so everyone can read over that news release. And if you have any follow-up questions regarding any of the numbers or any of the next news events on tap, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Adam, appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you, Corey.